For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nancy Slim. My husband Peter and I are the current coordinators of Empty Cradle. We are so glad you are here this afternoon to share this special time with us. Although, we are also sad because knowing that you are here in this room means that you have either endured the loss of a precious, much-wanted child or are here to support family members or friends who have. And that losing a child is one of life's most devastating experiences. Not only has the physical child been lost, but also all the hopes, dreams, and plans that were already made for that child from the moment you knew of his or her existence. Today, we are here to honor those children, to let them know that they are not forgotten, and that while they are not in our lives, and we miss them dearly, our memories will always be there for them. I'm going to ask Anna if she would come and light our first candle, which is the purple candle of memory, as we share about the memories of our children. Some memories, though brief, may be really beautiful, and others may be painful and dark. I am sure that if we were to discuss the day that we lost our child, every one of us could remember every moment of that experience and how difficult it was and how painful it was. But those memories, along with the healing journey, will forever be part of your world. But as we begin to heal and to get closer to healing, those memories can also bring us comfort. Now, we have a special feature for our children. And I would invite the little ones to come and sit on the carpet at the front, where Miss Nicole has a very special story for you. And afterwards, if you listen really well and really carefully, we've got some crayons and coloring books for you, too. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who would like to eavesdrop on the story too, it will be up on the screen in front so that you can follow along.
Okay, girls, so we're going to hear a special story, okay? We were going to have a baby, but we had an angel instead. We were going to have a baby, but we had an angel instead. My mommy had a baby in her tummy. I was real excited about that most of the time. I thought about playing ball with my baby and building a fort. And playing tricks on our parents. You don't love to do that, don't you? I love to listen to the baby and talk to the baby. And I really liked it when the baby would knock on mommy's tummy to get my attention. But something happened. The baby died. Our baby is not going to live with us. You want to come sit down, Kaylee? Yeah? We are all sad right now. Mommy sits in the rocking chair holding the baby's blanket, and she cries a lot. Daddy is building a box to put some of the baby's presents in. Even Grandy and Pops wish the baby would have stayed. I'm sad too, but I think they are sadder. Grandy says the baby can always live in our hearts. People send us flowers and cards, but we still miss our baby. If this just happened to you, I'm sorry you got an angel instead of a baby.
more time. Thank you. Good job. Thank you, Nicole. That was lovely.
Yeah.
Well, boys and girls, you know what impressed me? How good the audience was at listening. Weren't they good at listening to the story?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you be just as good at listening to their story while you color your sheets? Our baby is not going to come and live at our house, and we are sad. Yes, we are all very sad that we got an angel instead of a baby. And in time, the sadness will begin to lift. But time is not the same for every person. It may take a little longer than you thought to begin the healing journey from your baby. And at the beginning, all you might be able to do is sit in the rocking chair with a favorite blanket. But one day, you will look back and you will think, I smiled today. I didn't cry as much today. The healing has begun. It will take time. Allow yourself that time. And don't let anyone ever rush you in your healing. Right now, I'd like to have a special song played. Last year, at our first annual remembrance service, the pastor who spoke suggested a song that I went looking for this year. It's a song by Twyla Paris called Visitor from Heaven, and it reflects probably how some of us may be feeling. So I would like to play that for you. Warning, this is a tissue alert. You may need one.
Oh,
came. Our hearts are filled with love as we think about our children. I'm going to ask Anna to come and light the pink candle of love for us. Thank you. It is an incredible delight for me to introduce our pastor this morning, or this afternoon, to give you the words of love that she has prepared. I've known Pastor Laura now. She's been part of our lives for about the last 10 years. And she is absolutely an incredible, incredible pastor. But she did something this year that kind of left me confused, and I actually had to speak up to her about it this morning, because now, not only is she Reverend Laura Nelson, but now she's gotten her doctorate. And we're all very proud of her, but it was like, well, how am I supposed to introduce you? Is it Reverend Doctor? Is it Dr. Reverend? And so anyway, introducing you this afternoon to my favorite pastor, Reverend Dr. Laura Nelson. Laura.
I told her more is just good. Well, it is indeed a privilege to be with you here today. First, let me introduce myself a little bit to you. As Nancy said, I'm the pastor of Olivet Baptist Church and been there for almost 9 years. It's been great to serve there. I am a single parent with two grown daughters. And when my husband left, my youngest daughter was only about 2 years old. He, unfortunately, didn't really help us financially. So in order to make further income, I ended up teaching childbirth classes and taught classes for 10 years. I taught something called the Bradley Method. I lived in California at the time. And what is scripted for one of those classes is to cover things if a couple were to have a child go through illness or to have a child die. Certainly a very hard class to teach. One of the first, or the very first course that I taught, I had a couple that ended up having that happen. Their baby was born with several complications, and surgery was not possible to rectify these, and so their baby died about 24 hours after he was born. I ended up attending the funeral for this baby, and it was just so heartbreaking to see this tiny little casket. They became pregnant several years after that and decided to take all the childbirth classes again. And when we got to this one where we teach about what would happen when your child were to die, boy, that was difficult to teach with them there. But they were very encouraging and said how helpful it was to have some of that information when they walked through that hard time. When they went into labor this second time, all of a sudden I received a phone call saying, Laura, we're scared. Will you come be with us? So I had the opportunity of going and joining them as they walked through that process. I have not experienced the loss of a child, and I don't know the extent of the pain that you have gone through, but I've seen it, and my heart goes out to you. I think people in our society these days kind of don't want to see pain. We push it to the side and often don't allow people the freedom to express their hurt and their sorrow. Sharing the memories and going over all those details like Nancy mentioned that you remember. I'm so grateful that there are opportunities like this for Peter and Nancy hosting Empty Cradle where this can be done, where you can receive that support and understanding. This past Monday, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and I would assume that was not an easy time for you. How do you give thanks in the midst of loss? Because of just having this celebration, I want to read to you a Thanksgiving story of someone who lost a child and then was helped through this season. The story is called The Blessing of Thorns. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her shoes as she pushed against an October gust of wind and the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. Then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss. As if that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened to transfer. Then her sister, whose annual holiday visit she looked forward to, called saying she could not come. What's worse, Sandra's friend infuriated her by suggesting her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. She has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what? She wondered aloud. For a careless driver whose truck had hardly scratched when he rear-ended her? For an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon. Can I help you? The shop clerk's approach startled her. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra, for Thanksgiving. Do you want beautiful but ordinary? Or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? Asked the church clerk, the shop clerk. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst, and she was surprised when the shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Just then, the small bell rang on the florist's door, and the shop clerk said, Hi, Barbara. Let me get your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward a small workroom, then quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery boughs, long-stemmed thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers. Want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched her customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please, Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting this special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance. But I can feel it right here, all over again, she said, as she gently tapped her chest. Sandra, that lady just left with a... She just left with no flowers. Right. I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. Oh, come on. You can't tell me somebody is willing to pay for that, exclaimed Sandra. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago, feeling very much like you feel today, explained the clerk. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer, the family business was failing, her son was into drugs, and she was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband, and for the first time in my life, I had to spend the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel. So what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for thorns, answered the clerk quietly. I've always thanked God for the good things in life and never thought to ask him why those good things happened to me. But when the bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took time for me to learn that dark times are important. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we are afflicted. And from his consolation, we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby and I'm angry with God. Just then, someone else walked into the shop. Hey, Phil, shouted the clerk to the balding, rotund man. My wife sent me in to get our usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long-stemmed stems, laughed Phil as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. Those are for your wife? Asked Sandra incredulously. Do you mind me asking why she wants something that looks like that? No, I'm glad you asked, Phil replied. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess. But with the Lord's grace and guidance, we slogged through problem after problem. He rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of what she learned from thorny times. And that was good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks to him for what that problem taught us. I still pay the clerk, he said to Sandra, I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life, Sandra said to the clerk. It's all too fresh. Well, the clerk replied carefully, my experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than any other time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so that we might know his love. Don't resent the thorns. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheek. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns, please, she managed to choke out. I hoped you would, said the clerk gently. I'll have them ready in a minute. Thank you. What do I owe you? Asked Sandra. Nothing, said the clerk. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you'd like to read it first. It read, Dear God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I've thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant. I don't know what your faith perspective is here today, but I believe that God is the only one who can truly bring comfort and healing into our lives. There's a verse in the Bible in the book of Psalms that says, The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Another translation that I just love says, The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. My prayer for you is that you would indeed know his closeness. As hard as it is to turn to God in times of pain, those really are the times when we need him the most. He's always ready to welcome us into his loving presence, welcoming our frustrations, our questions, our doubts, our fears. Whatever our distress, whatever situations that we face, he is willing and eager to extend his grace, love, and comfort. As you look at the thorns of the loss of your little one, may you climb closer to God through this journey of pain. Thank you.
Tears hadn't come when I listened to it here today. But Laura, that message brought tears to my eyes too, even though I had heard that story before. It's been many, many years. Yes, we are quick to say thank you to those around us, to God, to everyone when things are going well and we can count our blessings. But thanking him for things that hurt, for disabilities, for loss, for death, for hard times, is really, really difficult. And I hope that that message inspired you as it did me this morning, this afternoon. When one of the themes in Laura's story, when Sandra said, how can I be thankful and angry with God, brought me back to when we endured our stillbirth. And sitting in my dining room with a pastor that I had only known for 3 months after we started attending all of that, and he asked me, "Nancy, are you mad at God?" And I know he was waiting for a response, as my thought process was, "Mad at God? I'm not allowed to be mad at God. Am I?" And Mark kindly and patiently looked at me and said, "Because you know he can take it." And I had to reply at that moment, "I'm not mad, but I'm oh so very disappointed. I have learned an incredible amount in the 22 years since our stillbirth. It has provided for me the opportunity to truly understand the people who walk through the doors of Empty Cradle each month, and those who contact me by email or by phone that sometimes I never even have a chance to meet. But it is such a privilege to be trusted so completely by people who don't even know me, to trust me with their deepest and most incredible hurt. And I am so grateful to have that trust. So I thank people for their trust in me." People ask me, "Why, after all these years, it's been almost 25 years now since your first loss, you have children, grown children, you have a grandchild, why are you still doing this?" And I tell them, "I can only give one gift to the 3 children they lost, and this is my gift to them. It is the only parenting I will ever be able to do to those children, and I count it a joy and a blessing to be able to do it." Today we meet as a community. We are here to remember, to honor, and to be, maybe not necessarily thankful, but to acknowledge that our children lived, even if we never got to see them open their eyes. We knew they were there. We felt them move inside. They were perhaps our firstborn, or later on. We will never get to raise that child, but they were still a part of our lives. And as a community today, we would like to share those memories of our children. So Anna, can I ask you to come and light the white candle of community? In a few moments, I'd like to give everybody the opportunity to come forward and light an individual candle in memory of your child. If it is in your heart, please share your child with us. Speak his or her name, or tell us a little bit about your child. Don't be rushed. There's not that many of us here. We have the time. And when you have lit your candle, there are two baskets of angels at the front. We would be delighted if each person would take an angel home with you in recognition of today and in memory of your child. There are silver angels and gold angels, and apparently I'm told that the only difference in them is the color of the beads at the front. So please choose whichever one you want and take it home with you, hang it somewhere where you can see it, and remember your child through it. I'm going to ask Peter if he will accompany me, and we will start. And then please feel free to come forward as you please. When everybody is done, I'll have a few closing words before we go across the hall for refreshments. We light these candles in memory of the 3 children that we lost. Our child Chris, born in miscarried in December of 2003. Our child Nick, miscarried at Victoria Day of 2004. And our daughter Angel, who was stillborn the first day of spring in 1993, 1994, and 1995. We light these candles in their memory. Thank you. feelings.
And my son Jason born in the August of 2004, 20 weeks.
Thank you. to make sure that everybody has had a chance to come forward. Is there anybody who has not? Never ever be ashamed of your tears. When we cut ourselves or scrape ourselves, we bleed. Tears come from a heart that has been broken. It hurts to love and to lose. As it is a part of life, we cannot stop the pain. And the tears are a way to express your pain, but they are also a part of the healing journey. In a few minutes, we're going to be done for the afternoon. We will all be invited across the hall to have refreshments that Ocean View has graciously provided for us. We hope that you can stay and join us and enjoy its time to just chair and chat and visit for a while. We're going to leave the music on and the candles lit for a little while. So as you are ready, go across the hall. Don't feel rushed. If you would like to stay and just reflect on what we've done here this afternoon, please take as long as you like to do so. If you'll turn to the back of your programs, there is a poem called We Remember Them that I have borrowed from the Compassionate Friends. I've asked Peter to come forward and lead you all if you would like to join in and read together the words We Remember Them.
In the rising of the sun and in its going down,
we remember them.
In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter,
we remember them.
In the opening of buds and the rebirth of spring,
we remember them.
In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them.
As long as we live,
they too will live,
for they are now a part of us
as we remember them.
When we were weary
and in need of strength,
we remember them.
When we are lost and sick at heart,
we remember them.
When we have joys
and yearnings to share,
we remember them.
When we have decisions that are difficult to make,
we remember them. From the beginning of the year until it ends,
we remember them.
As long as we live,
they too will live,
for they are now a part of us as we remember them.
Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. We hope that what we have put together for you has been a blessing and has left a positive memory in your hearts. Please join us for refreshments.